You are listening to Inform and Connect, Conversations on Blindness and Low Vision, a podcast of the American Foundation for the Blind. And now your host, Melody Goodspeed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the AFB Inform and Connect podcast. I am joined again, my lovely partner in crime, Tony Stevens, and we have a fun guest with us today. Well, we always have fun guests, don't we, Tony?
Yeah, we do. But this is a very fun guest because this guest resonates something in my heart that we don't really talk much on the podcast about.
Okay. What resonates in your heart?
That's food.
Oh, yes, I agree. And
not
you know
just
what?
Any food, but the best food in the world.
It is. And you know what it is? It's comfort food too for me. This particular type of food that we're talking about, it's comfort food for me. Yeah. Like I often have dreams of, I just want to sit with a large pizza with all the toppings that I want and watch my favorite movie with and chick flick away. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. What about you?
Well, this is my Friday tradition every week since my kids were two and we started to let them watch television. Mm-hmm. But it is, and you mentioned it a second ago, what the food, special food is, but it's hands down one of those like last meal, if it's the last meal on Earth, kind of asteroid paralleling towards Earth, what would you choose to eat? And so we're going to get a chance to learn more, not just about the food, but the person that makes it and the loving hands that prepare it and help, in a sense, not just bring food to the hearts of people, but it's actually helping the American Foundation for the Blind too, which has been an exciting thing that we came across, and we're excited to have the master chef himself online.
Yes, I know. Without further ado, Jordan Thomas, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. We're so glad to have you. And I have to agree with Tony. We also have a Friday night pizza, like ever since I can remember as a child, like that was the night you just knew it was happening. We are so excited to talk to you about food and pizza and all that stuff. Can you tell us, Jordan, a little bit about you, where you're from, and all things pizza?
So I am originally from a small town in Old Forge, Pennsylvania. It is the self-proclaimed pizza capital of the world. It is a very small town with about 6,300 people, and they all specialize in this Old Forge style pizza.
Can you describe
I want to know about this.
Is it Old Forge versus, Chicago or New York or Detroit?
So the Old Forge style pizza is a square pizza. It's made in a cast iron pan. It's not a Sicilian pizza. It's not thick. It has a light and airy center. It has a plum tomato sauce, and it has specialty cheeses that are mixed throughout it. The story is, fun fact is that in 1905, there was a bar in Old Forge, Pennsylvania, and the bar was a coal miner bar. And this woman, Nona Gingerelli, had her husband's bar, and all the coal miners would come in there to drink. And what she wanted to do was she wanted to feed the coal miners. So what she did was she goes back into her kitchen, which was connected outside of her bar, her home, and she starts digging around. And she, just the ingredients that she has on hand, she has this cast iron pan, and she has flour, and she has tomatoes, and she makes this Old Forge style pizza, which she had no idea was going to change Old Forge and Northeastern Pennsylvania forever. This pizza became so big. It's everywhere. It's so different. It's so unique how she made it. Every time I serve it, people are like, I've never had anything like this. This is so different. It's very unique. I can't compare it. I can't tell you it's a Sicilian. I can't tell you it's Detroit. I can't tell you it's Chicago. I can't tell you it's New York. I can't tell you it's Connecticut. It is just all on its own, a just different style of pizza.
Yeah. That's so exciting. Did you, so growing up, you grew up in Old Forge, and
so
was that where you're from?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm originally Old Moosic, Pennsylvania, which is connected to Old Forge. Yes.
Right. I mean, was there a pizzeria you'd go to, your parents would take you to as a kid, and you were like, just, you know, it became sort of that family tradition, or what?
So my uncle owned a restaurant in Moosic, and my mom and my dad both helped him with it. And I was just so, as a kid, I would get out of school and I would like ride my bike down there because I just always wanted to. He was just this really cool guy. He just always had this different wing sauces and pizza and recipes, and the stuff that he would come up with, I just always wanted to be there. And then as I got older, I worked there. And from there, all through high school, I worked at another pizza place. A very good friend of ours owns a bunch of them in Pennsylvania, restaurants. And I worked for them all through high school. And believe it or not, when I was in high school, I actually didn't want to open a restaurant. I was actually, I was a firefighter since I was 16, a volunteer. And then from then on, I was a firefighter all the way up, up until I lost my sight. I was going to be a firefighter. I was in the fire academy. I wanted to go be, my dream was to be a firefighter in New York City.
Can you kind of walk us through a little bit about the sight loss and adjusting and going back to something that gives you such pleasure? Because I can definitely tell it does with the animation.
How far were you in fire training? I mean, had you actually had a chance to serve local firehouses in Pennsylvania, or were you in Florida yet, or?
I did. So I was a firefighter for 10 years.
Wow.
My father was a firefighter. My godfather is still the fire chief in Pennsylvania. My brother-in-law is still a fire chief in Pennsylvania. My best friend is still a fire chief in Pennsylvania. The two best men that were in my wedding are still currently firefighters in Pennsylvania.
So real heroes.
Yes. And yeah. Thank you for your service, most definitely, and your family. You guys are real heroes.
To be honest with you, so while still being a firefighter, I always would work Friday and Saturday nights. I would work at a restaurant in Old Forge for a family friend. He was an older man, and even though I was still in fire academy, I wanted to help him. He was always really good to us. So I would go there and I would work on Friday and Saturday nights. And this place was zooming. On a Friday night, I think they would sell maybe 125 trays. And on a Saturday, maybe like 150. It was a small, There was in the place was a, in front of you was just a little cooler where the sauce and the cheese and the pizza toppings were, and there were two ovens and a cutting board table and a window and a door. It was just really small, but he sold a lot of pizza, and I had a great time doing it. I always had fun, and it was like my to be honest with you, like when I when the fire was, I was like having a hard time or struggling, or when I was there making pizza, I'm like, this is so simple. There's no responsibility. I'm not saving people. I don't have to follow codes. And when you're there, you're just kind of, as funny as it sounds, you're just saucing and cheesing pizza, and there's no responsibility. You're just kind of just sending out the door.
It's an interesting. You always hear about firefighters being good cooks, right? There's a firehouse a block from me in downtown Baltimore where I live, and you can always smell them grilling out and stuff. And I mean, I don't know if that's a stereotype or not, or if you found that to be true in the firehouse, but I mean, I've always heard growing up that, you know, there's always good food in firehouses. And I'm wondering if it's just that idea of service, right? I mean, it's a completely different world that you mentioned, much, much more low stress, but at the same point, you're just serving. It's a service role to be a restaurateur or a chef.
They call them, what they really are is they call them brotherhoods, and that firehouse is like your house. So those firefighters, they take pride every evening. They cook family dinner and everyone sits down at this big table like a family and eats dinner, and they take great pride in what they're serving.
Yeah.
I can tell where you are now, Jordan, that you do that with where you are now in Florida. All right, kids, they're there. And can you walk us through, like, I love how you say that, because family dinner is always a great thing, right? It's the, everybody's running around, hustling, bustling, and you get those, you know, half an hour to sit down and just preparing and being with people that you care about. And in both situations that you just said, like, it's, you know, you're saving people, and it's, you have to have that trust and camaraderie with the people that you're with. Can you kind of talk us about your transition to starting your new chapter in Florida?
Sure. To be completely honest, so in 2013, I was getting married, and I had gotten married, and I was on my honeymoon with my wife, and I had these like flickers, like my vision would come and it would go, and then it would come back. And I remember telling my wife that I said, I think I just need to lay down. I think it's just a headache. And then as the days went on, I noticed it would go away and come back longer. And then we had came home and I went to see a doctor. And the doctor had said, I really don't know. He said, we're going to schedule you for a specialist. It could be like a swollen lymph node or something like that. And a few days had gone by, and all of a sudden, it was just kind of lights out, and it didn't come back. And I remember like having like this panic attack, and then rushing me down to, they had taken me in the ambulance down to like Danville, Pennsylvania, to this big hospital. They took me like, into the emergency room, and what had happened, there was a doctor on this very well-known doctor who was filling in from New York in Pennsylvania, and he kind of knew, as crazy as it was, he takes me into surgery, and he sees the blue cells, the blue blood cells, and he says that there is this tumor that has grown so large that it's crushing the optic nerve. We need to operate. And they operate and they remove the tumor, but the damage was already done. So I have a bilateral optic nerve damage, they call it. And from there, I crashed. I didn't want to, from firefighting, I had a motorcycle, I quadded, I was very active, and to go to what you're at, from what you go to, I kind of went into this kind of deep, dark depression where I just kind of didn't want to be around or talk to anyone. And I would remember trying to do the stuff that I did when I could see, being blind, and I couldn't. And I tried everything. And I went to visit this family friend at that restaurant that I worked at. And he said, I'd never forget this. He says, a very old man, he says, Jordan, you made so many of these pizzas. He said, you could probably make them blind. And I go into his restaurant, and this square pan, as crazy as it is, the square pan, when you put the sauce on the pan, you guide your hand down the side of the pan when you're saucing it. And then when you are cheesing it, the same thing. So you necessarily can go down the left side of the pan and turn it, and then the right and turn it, and then the right and turn it, and then kind of go back and forth, and you can make this pizza blind. And I remember being like, oh my God, I can do this. And everyone back in Pennsylvania, I feel like they looked at me different. They treated me different. They felt bad for me. I didn't want them to. I wanted to go. I told my wife, and she said, you know, she supports me in whatever. I said, I need to get out of here. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I need to go somewhere where no one knows who I am and what happened to me. And I want to open this restaurant. This is what makes me happy. And I feel good when I'm doing it. And I want to do this. And we did. We packed two U-Haul trucks, my brother and my brother-in-law, and I packed up and I moved to Florida. And I looked and looked for a place. And about a year and a half, finally we locate one and I open. And I'm making these pizzas and I don't tell anyone that I can't see. And I'm in the kitchen and no one really knows. And this woman comes in and she says, if you don't mind me asking, she said, are you visually impaired? And I said, yes, I am. She said, oh my God. She said, I knew it. I said, why? She said, I am friends with a reporter. She says, I really want, if you don't mind, I really want to tell your story. And this reporter comes down and we sit down in the booth and we just talk. And she's like, if you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to. She says, I will tell you this. She says, this news can potentially make this business get extremely busy and bring income in, and you will have the ability to, you know, and money. And she's like, well, if you can think of it. And so I go home and I talk to my wife and I said, Adrian, this woman wants to tell me. She's like, I've heard it. She's like, I think you should tell your story. I think you should tell everyone what you went through, how you got where you are. She said, I think you should donate a portion of that money to two foundations. And when we sit down and we chose the leukemia and lymphoma, because I had lymphoma, and we chose the AFB. And the reason why the AFB is because they don't only focus on people who are blind, they help people who also have visual impairments, which I feel like is very important as well. I feel that they're back in Pennsylvania, some of the associations, they help just the people that are blind. And there are people who are pretty much almost blind. They can see shadows and they can see outlines and they need help as well. And the AFB focused on both and they help both people. So that meant the most to me. So I decide to tell my story and I take a portion of every pizza. What happens is every 6 months, or actually coming up September 1st will be our first 6 months. Our computer system will tell us how many trays of pizza we have sold. The last I checked, and I mean, we're going into June. The last I checked, we, since the news, have sold 1,500 trays, which it's busier now. So September 1st, it'll tell us, and, you know, we'll take half of that, 50 cents of one, will go to the AFB and the other 50 cents will go to the, Lymphoma and Leukemia Society.
Wow. That is very, very, thank you very much for just thinking of us. And you raised a really good point about the low vision community and how, you know, that the overwhelming majority of people who have vision loss still have some sight, but, you know, you live in a world where everyone thinks you see absolutely perfect because you don't walk around with a dog or a cane or sunglasses and people just assume, but there's huge, enormous challenges. So thank you for just recognizing the fact that, you know, we try at AFB to really focus in on a lot of issues that impact people across the whole spectrum of sight loss. So, but thanks for the generosity. And I mean, what better way to, you know, sort of witness to being able to, you know, overcome your own challenges than, you know, and just giving.
It's been so amazing. I just mailed an envelope out. Believe it or not, I get this yellow envelope in the mail to the restaurant. And I open it up and there's all of these checks to the AFB from camp counselors when I was 13, from my church pastor,
from my
coach. And they mailed all of these checks to me to send to the AFB. They were already made out and I just put them in the mail, like $25 here, $20 there, $10, $15. And the story, even though it aired in Florida, got so, everyone in Pennsylvania saw it. And we were able to raise so much money. It's amazing. just us making pizza. It's crazy. It's so unique, the pizza, and it's such a crazy story and how we got there and, you know, to do what you love every day. And the restaurant, the main passion is not only do I get to do what I love, but I get to do it with who I love. So when we decided to do this and we packed up, me and my wife, and my mom and dad said, we're coming with you. And they did. And then my mother-in-law, she just recently moved. She's here too. And my father-in-law, there he's on his way down. And I go to work every day. And my wife runs the front of the restaurant. She does the books. She does the takeout. My daughter, she is a junior in high school. She comes in every night after school. She waitresses. My mom, she waitresses full time. My dad makes pizza with me. It's a real family affair.
Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, I love this. And one of the things I want to go back to, Jordan, is what you said is you're doing what you love. And I think in our blind and low vision community, we are told by the public or other people what our preconceived notions of our own abilities. And I think that holds us back in so many ways, thinking we can't have the things we really want and we can't be the person that we really want to be. And I just love that you're sharing that you are loving and that it's coming through so loud and clear, even in your voice. But if you could tell somebody, you know, that's going through sight loss or even as our listeners to this, what would you tell them to get started on their way to get to their passion?
Oh, I get real emotional on the subject, actually.
So do I. I was choking up a little bit right now asking. So yes, I do too.
So I am very happy that you brought this up. So the reporter that was at the news station has been there for 12 years. Her farewell day, she wanted to do a follow-up story because of something that she had gotten wind of. And I didn't tell anyone. It's amazing. And I'm glad that you brought it up because I think it's very important. What I try to instill is that no matter what, is that, you know, we, even with a visual impairment, we have worth. And I had hired another blind person this week. Was his first week, and I'm training him, and I have him making pizza boxes, and I'm going to train him to sauce and cheese pizzas, and he's one of the first, and I'm going to bring other ones in, whether it's to make pizza boxes or to sanitize menus or to roll silverware or to make pizza. He came in and he was trying to go to TJ Maxx and they were giving him a hard time. And then he was working at a factory trying to separate screws and they were giving him a hard time. And he was just about to give up. And it kind of broke my heart. And he just, I explained to him, I think the most important thing is that we all have worth. And if I could hire them all, I would. And I'm trying to, you know, help him. And he feels so good that he is, he's needed, and he feels so good that he gets a paycheck. And he's very grateful.
Wow.
Yes.
Moving. I mean, we hear those challenging stories enough of people, you know, just trying to get back up on their feet, and that, to know that there's a boss that gets it.
And is, I mean, think what you said too, is we all have worth. And I think it's the core of us, especially when we go through something traumatic. And I think it's all of us, not just vision loss, but any traumatic situation, we tend to lose that. And I think it's our duty and our jobs as human beings to pull that back out of people when they're down, is to show them that they really do have worth. That's great. Yes. Jordan, you haven't told us where your pizza place is or the name of it.
Let's plug this place.
Yeah, let's plug this place. Yes. You are like advocating, you are making change. Like, let's do this.
It's Twisted Tomato. Is that right?
It is. So it is the twisted tomato. And the reason why it is the twisted tomato is that I feel like everything, I feel like my life is twisted. And I when we were trying to think of a name, and I feel like everything that happened, like my whole entire life is twisted. I said to my wife, I said, let's call it the twisted tomato. And it's in Delray Beach, Florida. And it's in this little shopping plaza. And it's been a crazy, crazy ride. The logo is my 13-year-old nephew drew it for me. He wants to be an artist. We had him draw it on a piece of paper. We sent it to a company, and that's the logo that we go with. And he's very proud of it. And every day is just every day of my life, I feel like, is an adventure, whether it is somebody coming in the restaurant that saw you on the news, or I mean, the great part now, and it's amazing. When I wake up every day, what we talked about is I'm needed, and my phone rings, and it's the pizza, the cook, or it's somebody asked me a question, and like I feel like now I'm the guy. And I for a while after I lost my sight, I wasn't needed, and every day I am. And it's not only the point of that. I think the most important thing is these people now feel like they can relate to me, and they have somewhere to go. We just had a gentleman, his birthday party was there. He's blind, 30 people, and the Braille Club, they come in once a week. We do, musical bingo and karaoke on Tuesdays, and they come 30 of them, and they love it. And they're all, thank you, thank you, thank you. They feel like they're comfortable there. And the Braille Club does their meetings there, their monthly meetings. And we do catering for them. And they're just so thankful. They feel at home. They feel they're happy to be there. A couple other foundations, a lighthouse, another club and group, they come there, and we're always trying to do different stuff. We do this like musical bingo where it's like a clip from like the 60s or 70s or 80s, and you guess what the song is. And the reason why is because instead of a bingo card that you can't see, we do this like musical bingo where we revolve it around people that have a visual impairment. And like I said, these people are so grateful and so thankful that they can come there, and they feel at home. They feel like they're happy when they come. And I think that's the most important thing.
You know, going back to your name of the restaurant, which I love the name now, it has so much meaning.
Yes. Yes.
Because I mean, hey, you know, the best books, hands down, always have a great plot twist. And to hear what you've done with the plot twist that your life took, right? But at the same time, going back to that sense of brotherhood and camaraderie you talked in the firehouse and how cooking was part of that, I mean, you kind of have found a new family now. And
yes, it's I was just about to say that.
But at the same time that you're embracing that family and just really trying to support it. So good on that, Jordan. I mean, that's such wonderful news to hear. And I mean, it is, it's a fantastic plot twist. It's maybe not the ending for all of us. You know, I lost my sight when I was 15. Melody, you were in your 20s? When?
How 26. And lost it very similarly to you, Jordan, just like that.
Yeah, it's not the ending we thought we'd get, but hands down, so wonderful to hear that you've taken this plot twist and turned it into twisted tomatoes.
And Jordan, you are forever going to be in my heart and my own twistedness. It's just, I'm going to think about that and smile.
I got to figure out.
I tell the, I feel like so many challenges every day. It's so funny. I had this discussion with my wife and went through the cancer and the blindness and the moving. And then honestly, I told my wife if the restaurant didn't take off, I was going to write a book and I was going to call it, Is That All You Got?
Well, what's the closest airport? Fort Lauderdale or Miami? How do I?
Yeah, we're coming. Tony and I are coming.
So the Delray Beach is actually the closest airport is Fort Lauderdale. It's about 25 minutes. And then there's also another airport, which a lot of people don't realize. The one that I actually use, it's called West Palm. And West Palm is actually about 10 minutes from Delray.
Yes, I have taken that one. Oh, this is fantastic. Well, you know what? We are going to have to spread the news of the Twisted Tomato here with our supporters in the area to get you there. And as a matter of fact, we have one of our colleagues who lives very close to you, and she's going to come visit. So she's going to let you know.
That's
who
cool.
She is.
That's great.
Yes, her and her husband are going to come visit.
Yeah. What has been the hardest, just real quick before we close things up? I mean, the hardest transition into cooking in the kitchen for you after losing your sight, having made pizzas since you were a kid in the family restaurant, your uncle's place. Has there been anything you've been creative in overcoming a challenge with that you could pass on as like a little cooking tidbit for people, you know?
Yes, I have been burned many, many times.
Sure. Probably fighting fires.
Hand in the air on that one too.
I told my wife I always make a joke to her. I hear like on TV the crime scene there with fingerprints. I told my wife, I said, I don't have any left, they're gone.
Any quick tips for the for
any, yeah yourself? Any tips for us, because God knows I need it.
So to be honest with you, as funny as it sounds, people are so amazed. They're like, how do you? I don't take my stick to work, and they're like, you move around. And believe it or not, I have adapted so much. I count the steps. I can walk you through this restaurant and you'd be like, oh my God. Like, I feel that when you have a passion for something and you are so motivated at it, you can adapt no matter what. And I can, I maneuver around that kitchen and I take the proper, safety procedures. A good friend of mine is a chef at the Four Seasons Fort Lauderdale. And we've been friends forever. And he came up and, you know, we have things, whether it's, you know, believe it or not, as funny as this sounds, everything works out. So being a firefighter, it's so funny. When we open the restaurant and I'm burning my hands and I'm like, and then you get this like cooking mitt or a towel, but the pan is still too hot. It's so funny. I called my brother-in-law back in Pennsylvania, and I remember being a fireman. And I said to my wife, I said, Adrian, when I was a fireman and I would be in these burning buildings, I would wear these firefighter gloves and I couldn't not feel anything. He sends me these pair of firefighter gloves, and that's what I grab the pans with so I don't get burned.
Right. Brilliant. A good pair of gloves will go a long way cooking. I have learned that. Just when you're trying to feel your way around the oven with your, you know, a spatula or something, it's nice to be able to actually grab something.
And I'm grateful. My dad is, God bless him, my dad is 76, and he won't take a dollar from me, and he just wants to be there, and he works the oven with me every day. He picks me up. I wake up every day. My son, we live in a community. I'm so grateful that when I walk out my door, I only I walk about maybe 100 steps, and there's this gate. And the gate has like a key, and you open it, and right on the other side of the gate is the crossing guard. And my son goes to school there. I have a 6-year-old, Landon, And I have a daughter, Ava, who's a junior. She goes to Lake Worth Christian School. So every day, and my son always wants me to take him. And so every morning I wake up and I walk into school, and my dad's already waiting for me, and we go there together. And me and him prep the pizza station together, and I make all the pizzas, and he runs the oven, and he pulls them out and cuts them and boxes them for me.
That is awesome.
So good. And now I'm so hungry.
Yes, Tony and I are starving. We talked about that.
Now, yeah. I will tell you, so when we get off of the phone, I'm going to have my wife send you the new news link. I will tell you this. A company reached out to me regarding this Old Forge style pizza and how everyone, the media, people in different parts of Florida, Orlando, and then people in Texas, and California, how they wanted to try this pizza, and they wanted to support the cause. And I got with the news, and we had reached out to this company back from Pennsylvania, a good friend of mine. And starting this Monday was our first day today. Four of them went to California, two of them went to Texas, and two went to Michigan. We have a website that is www.thetwistedtomatodelray.com. And you go on there and you click, and you can get our red, our white, our double crusted, or a pizza kit. And it's flash freeze, and it ships right to your house on dry ice. And the dollar from that goes to the AFB as well.
Wow. That is awesome. And I will be going on there and click and ordering that, because
you orders right away.
Yes, you are totally. Oh, that's awesome.
Next time I need to eat before recording a podcast.
I know. Well, yes, we are talking about our favorite comfort food. Yeah. Jordan, it's been so great to have you. And thank you, just even from my own personal heart, just, you know, sharing your story and overcoming and not just overcoming, but living and loving. It's wonderful. And thank you. I follow you on Facebook. Have people wanted to reach out and check you? Can you kind of tell us about your social media handles? I know it's Twisted Tomato, and I follow you and your post, and they make me happy.
So we're on Facebook and Instagram, and we have our website, and it all, my wife is very, you know, she reads me everything, and I comment back, and I answer everyone in Messenger. And most recently, my daughter, who's, you know, 17, she's like, "Dad, you have to go on TikTok." And I'm just like, "I don't even know what that is." She's like, "No, Dad, it's like this thing."
Oh, people would love that. I mean, just
yes,
from a blind chef.
Yes. I think you need a YouTube channel as well, but I'm just adding that for you.
So she had set me up, and we get this stand, and we put the camera up, and I did. I went live on there making the pizza, showing people that they can do it. And nice. People were like going nuts, and they were like, "Oh my God, this is like so cool." And these people reached out. That's actually how the one, the gentleman that we have working for us now, you know, he told me the story about TJ Maxx, and then he told me the story about him not getting this job. And I was like, "I've been there, man." I was like, "Listen, you know, you can do this." And I'm going to teach this. I am going to teach it. My goal is his name is Drew. And right now he comes in on Fridays. His caseworker comes in and sits with him for the 4 hours on Fridays. But my goal, I'm going to have this guy in that kitchen making pizza. I promise you.
Nice.
That is incredible. That is awesome. We can't wait to put our orders in. We also can't wait to come visit. I actually really want to come and try this bingo thing and just come to say thank you from the American Foundation for the Blind for bringing awareness and showing the world that, you know, we can break barriers and most importantly, that we all have self-worth, even in our darkest of times, and we all have self-worth. And I just thank you so much for being with us today. This has really been a lot of fun. And yes, I'm starving.
But all right, one last question. What's your favorite pizza topping?
So believe it or not, I get that a lot. And everyone asks me, like, what's your favorite pizza top? What's your favorite pizza? Believe it or not, we make this pizza that you will never find anywhere else in the world. It's called a double crusted white. So it doesn't have sauce. It's a white pizza, not like an open white pizza with the cheese. So it's fresh dough, and it's made in that square pan. And what it does is you fill it up with, whether it would be broccoli, like broccoli, seasoned broccoli, or spinach, or shrimp and hot peppers. And then you fold it over, and it's like 4 inches high. And it's double stuffed with cheese and your toppings. And it comes in these 6 cuts. And it's my favorite pizza. Everyone that I've ever given it to is like, oh my God, I've never had anything like this in my whole life. And that's my favorite pizza. Rather than the red, I am the double crusted white with broccoli. It's my favorite pizza.
Okay, now I'm starving. That sounds amazing.
Well, Jordan, thank you so much. Yes. Wonderful.
And thank you. No, thank you for having me. Thank you. Anytime.
Yes, this has been a blast. And we are visiting, and we will definitely have you back in. We're gonna keep up with you. And guys. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, and thank you for your generosity to give back to both AFB and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Yes, I think giving back is so incredibly important, because it's the way we support each other. And we just want to thank you again. And thank you to all of our listeners. This is, again, the American Foundation for the Blind, Inform and Connect podcast. We thank having Jordan Thomas with us today, and we hope you've enjoyed our time, and I think we all need to go get some pizza. Have a good one, guys. See you later.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Inform and Connect, the podcast of the American Foundation for the Blind. Be sure to subscribe and like wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out and even consider making a tax-deductible gift today. Go to afb.org. AFB, creating a world of no limits.